Stuff. Thank you so much. That was a real blessing. And I appreciate that song for the Lord. I appreciate you using your talent for the Lord. Psalm 19, I want to just give you a few thoughts that I hope will be a help to you about the Word of God. This psalm begins to mention a way that God speaks to us that we hold in our hand. It's amazing that we can hold the Word of God in our hand. That's just amazing to me. The psalmist began the psalm by saying that we can be spoken to by what God says in the heavens. And then he says that God's even spoken to us by what He puts in our hands. And so God speaks to us by what He puts in the heavens, and God speaks to us by what He puts in our hands. And then the psalm ends by saying that God speaks to us by who He puts in our heart. I'm glad the Holy Spirit of God lives in me.
Amen.
Every believer has the Word of God living inside of them. And God speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. If you will listen to the Holy Spirit, He will guide you each step of the way. And I'm thankful for the leading companion of the Holy Spirit of God. I want to just go down and navigate through verse number 7. And we'll go to verse 8 and 9. And then I'll just make a comment about 10 and 11. We'll come back there. There's a couple of things that I notice here as the psalmist kind of shifts gears on us. He basically says two things, and he talks about two things. He talks about, first of all, the virtue of the Scripture, and he talks about how important the Scripture is, and then he talks about the value of the Scripture. So he talks about the virtue of the Scripture and then the value, and we'll come back to that second part. But I just want to begin and just kind of go line by line and just take some of these words, and I hope that as we look into them and break them down, that it'll give you a better understanding of just what you hold in your hand. We have a copy of the Word of God.
Amen.
I don't have to doubt that. I have never doubted, and God is my witness now. From the time that God saved me, I've doubted some things. And sometimes I can be a doubting Thomas. But I've never doubted that this book right here is the Word of God. And I'm glad for that faith that God gave me from the time He saved me. I guess it had a lot to do with my grandmother when I was growing up. And then when I got saved, I went to a strong Bible-believing church that just taught that the Bible is the Word of God. And I'm glad they never listened. They never wobbled on that axle, not one bit, while Sharon and I was there. And I'm thankful for that kind of training in our early Christian experience. Let's begin with verse number 11 and just go down through here and talk about some things where the Scripture says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Now, what does that mean? You say, well, it means that it's perfect, that there's nothing wrong with it. Well, it does, but when you look that word perfect up, it certainly means that. It means that it's no error. But when you look the word perfect up, it means this. It means there's no need to add to it, and you certainly don't need to take from it. Everything we need is in this book right here. For life and godliness, that's what the Word of God teaches. The law of the Lord is perfect. Now, there have been many, many people, and I want you to listen to me well here. There have been emperors that have tried to exterminate this book right here. There have been atheists that have scoffed at it. There have been agnostics that have smirked at it. There have been cultists that have tried to pollute it. Liberals that have tried to dilute it. But can I tell you that the Bible stands though the world may crumble. The Word of God still stands, brethren. This is still the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And can I tell you that it's going to forever remain that? Jesus said in Matthew 24, in verse number 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Amen. The Bible is the Word of God. It's not the word of a man. And we don't receive it as it is the word of a man. We talked about that some last week. We talked about how that we receive it as it is the very word of God. And so he said this. He said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There are liberals who are attacking this book, have been for many years. They're still out there attacking the Word of God. And this is what they'll tell you. Don't you fall for it. They'll say, well, you know, the Bible is perfect as far as in its thoughts. They're inspired thoughts, but they're not inspired words. Listen, that doesn't even make sense. It takes words to make thoughts. That's right. How are you going to have thoughts without words? What is a thought without a word? Can you make a thought without a word? Try it right now. It can't happen. You can't have a thought without a word. Liberals never think things through. Never. So don't you buy into that. Every word of God's, Proverbs 30 verse 5, is pure. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God. All the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, inspired of God. God breathed. Listen, every word of God has been breathed from God. And so you don't have to read the Bible and say, well, now I wonder if this part is so or this part is not so. Every word of God is inspired. We have a copy of the Word of God. And you know what the Word of God does? It converts the soul. Now that's powerful. When you look that word convert up, it means to restore. I challenge you to go look it up. It's a very interesting word. You see, man is broken. Man is broken. Sin has broken us. We need to be mended. And God's Word does a mending work in our soul. God's Word does a work of repair, of restoring in our lives. God's Word brings us from death, think about it now, to life. God's Word does that. It wakens us up. It quickens our spirit. The Word of God does that. It wakes us up. It brings us from death to life. It brings us from darkness to light. It changes our ways. It changes our thoughts. It changes our perspective. God's Word does this. Where would we be without the Word of God? I was thinking about it this week when I would read through this psalm, and I was thinking about it, and I've been thinking about it some today, how I'm thankful for the Bible. I am so thankful for the impact that the Word of God has had on my life. Where would I be were it not for the Word of God to instruct me and to teach me and to help me and to guide me? The Word of God has meant so much to my life, and I just want to give God all the glory for it. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you for leaving us an entire copy of the Word of God that would help us and grow us and fix us and repair us and restore us. The law, in verse number 7, of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You know anything about that? Do you know what it is to be restored? You ever been restored? Not me, preacher. Well, I hope that you have. Yes, I've been restored, preacher. Isn't it wonderful to be restored? Amen. Amen. Restored, redeemed, born again. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Born from above, it's a wonderful thing. The Word of God restores us. It converts us. I've been converted. The law of the Lord is powerful that way. Then he said this in verse number 8. Look at it. He said, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. It's sure. That's an interesting word. That word means it's firm. And it has in mind a foundation. It's like sure footing. You don't have to step lightly and step over stuff, and you don't have to think that you're walking on eggshells or jello. You're on a firm foundation when you're standing on the Word of God. So he said, the Word of the Lord is sure. It's a foundation you can stand on. It's a foundation you can build on. It's a foundation you can trust in. It's a rock. Amen? It's a rock. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, He said that a man that would hear his sayings and keep them is likened unto a wise man that built his house on the rock. Right? Look what he said here, that sure word does in verse number 7. He said, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The word of God will wise us up. There's a lot of fools in this world. The world is full of fools. Fools make a mock at sin. Fools say in their heart there is no God. But when we get in this book begins to convert, restore, and change our hearts and teach us, and it begins to instruct us. It begins to teach us. It makes us wise. I thought about that verse of scripture over in 2 Timothy in chapter 3, where when Paul was writing to young Timothy, he said that as from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that hath made thee wise unto salvation. I'm glad for the entrance of light that comes into our heart when the word of God pierces the darkness of our soul and it makes us wise to the need of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, aren't you? I'm thankful the word of God is powerful that way. And so what is he saying? What is the psalmist saying? He said, well, first of all, he said in verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, and it does a work of restoration in our soul. And then he said, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It's sure footing. It's not slippery. It's not slippery. It's sure. You can stand upon it without apology. You can stand upon it and know that it will make you wise. The word of God will make you wise. I want you to turn to Psalm 119. And while you're turning to Psalm 119, now hold your place. We'll come back to Psalm 19. But turn to Psalm 119. I want to give you a scripture where James said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Aren't you glad for the wisdom that God gives us in life? How often have I knelt down and said, now God, I need your wisdom. I need to be wise in this area. I'm going to be making a decision that's going to impact my life, my future, my day, my family, my calling, my ministry. God, I need your wisdom in this area. And I'm so thankful that God's word, I can be reading in God's word and God will just bring out a truth and say, here it is, son. Here's some instruction. Here's some wisdom for you to act on in that situation that you brought to my attention. Aren't you glad for that, brethren? Listen, God does it for all of us, doesn't he? If we'll just seek it. In Psalm 119, look if you would in verse number 98. In Psalm 119, look in verse number 98. We're talking about the testimony of the Lord being sure. Sure footing. It's a steady foundation. And it makes us wise. Before we read this, I want you to look right up here at me. And I think I can say this. And most of the older and some of the younger, you have experienced this. I have talked to people and I am in no way minimizing education. I thank God for the opportunities that we have in our country to get a good education. But when I pastored in South Carolina, I pastored way back in the mountainous areas of South Carolina, and there was a lot of folks who did not even finish grade school. There was a man that was a member of the church that I pastored, and I think he may have finished the fifth grade. And I'm going to tell you what right now, that man taught me probably more about life than most men I've ever met. And it was because he spent his days in this book right here. He spent many hours in this book, and God had given him an insight and a wisdom that was far beyond what you could get in a psychology book or a math book. And I'm not minimizing that, so don't you leave here and say, well, the preacher said I don't have to do math. Glory, hallelujah. I didn't say that at all. I'm just saying that though you may have the physics and the civics and though you may have the trigonometry and the calculus, you could have all of those things, but if you don't have a knowledge that comes from this book, you're lacking. Because the commandments of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. Some of the most beneficial conversations I've ever had in life have not been with professors. Oh, they've been professors, okay, but professors of the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they spent time in the secret place getting wisdom from above. Brethren, it's a need in our day. In Psalm 19, in verse number 98, notice what the psalmist said. He said, "Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding," in verse number 99, "than all my teachers, for their testimonies are my meditation." You'd be amazed what God could teach you when you get along with Him in this book. God has wisdom and knowledge and understanding that He can unlock in our lives and that He could impart into our hearts if we'll just get along with Him and let Him be our teacher. Again, I want to make this very clear for those of you that are in school. You ought to do your best in school. Actually, I believe we ought to do our best in all that we do for God. I think it's part of our testimony. But don't ever underestimate the time that you need to spend on a daily basis in this book we call the Word of God. Look over, if you would, in verse 104 of Psalm 19. Psalm 19, 104 says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." Preacher, there's a lot in life I don't understand. Maybe you're going through a situation in your life right now. Maybe you're a young person and you just don't understand why some things are going on in your life and some of the places maybe that you've come up against, and you say, "I just have questions and I need answers, preacher, I need answers." The psalmist said this in verse 104. He said, "Through thy precepts I get understanding." Can I tell you, God's word will give you answers. God's word will give you wisdom. God's word will give us understanding. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. God help me and God help you not to allow the enemy to keep us from this book. See, that's what the enemy wants to do now. Oh, make no mistake about it. He wants to get you and I busy. He wants to so entangle us with the affairs of life that we think we don't have time to read our Bible. Oh, listen, take time to be holy. Get in the Word of God, and I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to you. Let us spend time in this book right here. It's very important. Look at verse number 130 of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 130, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." We could go to Scripture after Scripture as we go back to Psalm 19 after Scripture. The testimonies of the Lord are sure. Brethren, they're solid. God's word is not going to be changing. So you can stand on it. And God's word will make wise the simple. God's word will have people coming to you and saying, "What should I do about this? What should I do about that?" One of the greatest examples in all the scriptures, King Solomon. How God sent people to him for wisdom and how God imparted wisdom into his heart. You say, "Preacher, I sure would like to be able to help people. I'd like to be able to instruct people. Impart into people wisdom and understanding." Then you get in this book and God will send people to you. I believe that with all of my heart. Because this book has the answers to life. And so he said, as we look back in Psalm 19 in verse number 7, he said, "The law of the Lord, it's perfect. Doesn't need anything added to it. And God have mercy on the man that would try to take from it." The Bible has a warning for those that would try to add to it and take from it in the book of the Revelation. Doesn't it? It's perfect. It doesn't need to be tampered with now. Leave the Word of God alone. And let God's Word do its work in your heart and mind. It converts, it restores the soul. Some of you are hurting. You're broken. Can I encourage you to get in God's Word and let it do a work in your heart? God desires to mend and to restore and to repair. Then he said in verse number 8 that the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Look at verse number 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Oh, this is a good one here. They're all good. When you begin to look these words up and dig and see what's at the root of the teaching, look at verse number 8 where it says, the statutes of the Lord are right. That word means that they're cut straight. They'll never lead you astray. If God said do it, it'll be okay to do it. Amen. If God said doesn't do it, don't do it now. You're going to mess up. Well, preacher, everybody's doing it. If God said don't do it, don't do it. You're going to mess up. He said in verse number 8, the statutes of the Lord are right. Can I tell you, that's emphatic. They're not just right some of the time. Why? Because the law of the Lord is perfect. They're right every single time. They don't change. And here's where the devil tries to get us. I want you to watch what the psalmist did here, David. Notice what he said here. The statutes of the Lord are right. You can't go wrong by doing right. When God said, thou shalt not, then thou shalt not. You know, sometimes I think that we try to excuse, we say, well, you know, I'm not really sure if I understand the Bible. The Bible's deep, and I want to be very clear here. The Bible is deep. This book will go deeper than we'll ever be able to fathom. We'll still be learning from this book 100, 1,000, 1,000,000 years from now. In the eternal day called heaven, we'll still be learning from this book. But I'm glad that God puts things up on the surface for us too, aren't you? God will give us a surface feeding from time to time. And if you and I begin to dig a little bit, He'll give us a nugget. He will. That'll help us in life, in the place where we are. He said in verse number 8, He said, the statutes of the Lord are right. And if God said don't do it, then don't do it. You'll be sorry. Listen, God's saying spare yourself here now. Don't cause yourself unnecessary trouble. Don't do it. You don't need a lexicon. You don't need a Strong's Concordance. If God said thou shalt not, then that's pretty plain. You don't need counsel from the preacher. Amen. You don't need counsel from the wise men. If God said thou shalt not commit adultery, then thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. If God said thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not steal. That's plain and simple. We do not need a lexicon for that. There's a lot of things God's just laid right out there for us. And then there's things that God said to do. He said, hey, listen, do yourself some good. Do this. Do that. This will do you good. Follow my commandments. God's commandments are not grievous. You say, preacher, I want to be happy. Well, I don't know anybody in life that doesn't. How can I have joy and peace? How can I have calm and soothing in my spirit? Notice what he said here in verse number 8. The statutes of the Lord are right. Look at this next phrase, rejoicing the heart. Well, the devil will tell you, boy, if you live that Bible, you'll be some. Listen, you'll be your lip will drag the bottom ground. The commandments of God are grievous. Oh, it's so hard to live for God. God expects so much. That's all a lie from the enemy. See, God knows what's best for us. And when God tells us to do what's right, whether it's thou shalt not or thou shalt, when we read God's word and obey God's word, the Bible says a direct result of that is what? Rejoicing. Look at it again. Verse number 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Maybe that's the reason that 3/4 of America is popping pills, trying to get happy. That's the devil's counterfeit. I'm not saying that there's not some folks that need medication. Before it's all said and done, I might need some. Amen. I've got some people been trying to talk me into it for quite some time. Medication may be needful in some instances, but now you listen to me. There's no medication going to help your soul. But this book right here, get down and it'll plumb the very depths of the soul of man. And when we begin to do what God says, when we begin in verse number 8 to get into the statutes of the Lord and realize they are right and do what God has said, then God will bring rejoicing in the heart. Say, preacher, I want to be happy. I want to be joyful. I want to be at peace. I want to lay my head on my pillow at night and know that all is well. Then get in the statutes of the Lord and see what God has said is right. And God will fix that heart and put joy inside of it. There's no greater way to live than in obedience to the Word of God. Amen? Amen. I believe the psalmist David was on to something here. The Spirit of God said, tell him, David. Tell him. David knew what it was to fellowship with God. He had a heart that panted after the God of heaven. He was a man after God's own heart. And whether God laid him out on the back side of a rolling green somewhere where he was out on his terrace in the palace one night and God gave him this, I don't know, but I know this. I know that David got in touch with a higher power, and the Spirit of God told David to write some things about this book that we call the Word of God that I have found to be so. It's so. When we do what God says, God will give us joy. But when we do not do what God says, God will take our joy. Isn't that so, folks? It's so. When I do what God says, God gives me peace. I have the peace of God in my heart that passeth all understanding. But when I go against what God says and I'm not lining up in direct obedience to the revealed Word of God, God will trouble my soul. And so let me just please encourage you to get in the Word, and let's be obedient to what God says. God's Word is right. If God said do it, it's okay to do it. It doesn't matter if anyone else, listen, it doesn't matter if anyone else in the neighborhood, it doesn't matter if anyone else down at the job, it doesn't matter if anyone else at the school, it doesn't even matter if some folks at the church or in your home are doing it. If God said it's right, it's right. And God help you and I to do it. Look what else he said. He said this. He said, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. What's that word pure mean? Well, I looked it up and it means this. It means without admixture. It means that it is without admixture. There's not some good and some bad. It is absolute perfection. It is all good. When God said it, it's so. You can count on it. You don't have to worry. You don't have to say, well, you know, I sure hope that God's right on this one. Can I tell you, God's right on everything. When God's talking about science, God's right. When God's talking about the soul, God's right. When God's talking about marriage, God's right. When God's talking about man, God's right. When God's talking about sin, God's right. God's right about everything he says, God's right. And he said here in verse number 8, he said that the commandment of the Lord is pure. It's without admixture. Everything that God says in his book is so, and you can act on it as being complete truth. He said, you know what it does? It enlightens, in verse number 8, it enlightens the eyes. Now, someone has said, and I don't know that this is so. I don't know that this is so. Someone said there's close to 6,000 promises in the Word of God. I don't know. I haven't counted them. Has anyone ever counted the promises? There's so many promises in the Word of God, but can I tell you that all of them are in Christ Jesus, yea and amen. There's a lot of promises in this book, brethren, that we can claim. God gave them for you and for me. Young people, please listen to me. You don't have to wait till you get married and in your 20s and 30s and 40s to start claiming the good promises of God's Word. He has them for you in the place where you're at in your life right now. Claim the promises of God. Get in the Word of God and let him begin to do that work of restoration. Let him begin to give you a sure foundation. There's just so many people stumbling around in life with no direction. You don't have to go through life that way. You can walk sure-footedly, standing on the promises of a sure foundation of the Word of God. Well, let me give you this and then we'll be through tonight, okay? He said in verse number 8, after he said the Word of the Lord is pure, which means without admixture, it enlightens the eyes. I'm thankful that there's a still small voice in me that when I'm speaking to people or they're speaking to me or I'm reading or things are going on, the Word of God enlightens the eyes of my heart and says, whoa, wait a minute. hold it. Something's not quite right here. Now, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Don't you, folks? Amen. When you're in this book and this book's in you, and someone gets to talking that tomfoolery, that foolishness, you listening? The Spirit of God will say, whoa, something not right here. Amen. That's right. And you won't be deceived and led off into every wind of doctrine. You won't be led astray if you'll get this book in your heart. Why? Because it's right altogether, and it's true, and it's pure, and it's clean. And it'll help you make good, sound decisions in your life that you won't regret later on in life. Let's go on now to verse number 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. This just means that it's incorruptible. Thank God for the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever. Amen? Is that what he said in verse number 9? The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The Word of God's not going away, brethren. It's not going away. It's here to stay. Amen. Here to stay. Well, preacher, they're going to take the Bible from us. Listen. No, now listen, hold it now. God will always have His Word here. That's right. That's right. I'm still amused when people say, well, they took prayer out of the school. They did. You can pray anywhere you want to pray. I think I know what they mean now. They quit leading in prayer, and I'm not so sure we shouldn't be glad about that in some instances. Some people's praying to a God that's not our God. Listen to me now. They're praying to some deity on a shelf. That's right. And I would to God that our schools would get straight, but in some churches. But now listen, don't ever have to worry about this book going to go into extinction. The Word of God shall endure forever. Look what the Bible says. I'm telling you what the Bible says now. You say, well, now history. Listen, if history doesn't line up with the Bible, it's wrong. It says right here, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And he said this, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. What's that mean? That means when God says it, it's so, and it's not going to change. That's what it means. True and right altogether. So here's some good things about the Bible. Now, with that said, I want to close with this, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm going to be very brief here, because I will come back to this latter thing here in verse 10 and 11. There's three things that I'll point out. First of all, in verse 10 and 11, I see where the Word of God is precious. It's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. The Word of God is precious. Then secondly, the Word of God is protective. He said in verse number 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. How often have I been reading the Bible and God smote me in my heart and said, listen, you're getting ready to do this, or you've made this decision, or you've given this some thought. You need to back off of that. You need to hold on. Amen? Amen, folks? You know what I'm talking about? I think you do. The Word of God will give you insight and direction. It'll warn us. Look what he said again in verse number 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. There used to be an old saying from the old timers, and some of you will still remember this, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. I'm glad for God's warnings before I went and done something stupid. That's right. God warned me and said, hold up. Let me prevent something before we have to cure it. Thank God for His warning. That's why I want to stay in this book, to get my warnings. I need them. But there's not also warning. Thank God there's reward. And this is what he said. Not only is the Word of God precious, it's protected, but it's profitable. He said in the latter part of verse number 11, the keeping of them is a great reward. Well, the Word of God is a wonderful book. Now, with that said, I believe that every one of you would agree with me. But I want to tell you how the enemy works. Not trying to throw anyone under the bus here. I truly want to be an encouragement to you to get into God's Word, and let's read God's Word, and let's meditate on God's Word. Let's memorize God's Word. Let's hide God's Word in our heart. Let's share it with others. The Word of God is powerful. Listen, I can't tell you how many times in my own ministry, Pastor David and I have talked about it. I can't tell you how that I've had people, I mean, just gnashing their teeth at me at funerals and weddings and events. and me get up and mention the name of Jesus, and they just almost like they just start seething, or, you know, just, I mean, and you start quoting scripture, and you'll see God go to work in their heart. I mean, God just tames and humbles and brings them to a place to where they are ready for repentance in their heart. Now, that's not the man. That's the power of the Word of God. So you never have to worry now. You get God's Word in your heart, and you start giving God's Word. God's Word will take care of a lot of things. You don't have to cower down when you've got God's Word in your heart. Quote it. Use it. Share it. It'll break hard hearts. People that tell you they hate you, I hate a preacher, I hate church, I hate the Bible. You just give them God's Word in love. You just tell them God loves them, and you love them, and you quote scripture to them, and let God go to work in their hard heart. God can do it. All right? Now, how many of you believe, and I want you to listen to me now. Look right up this way, every one of you. I'm going to close with this. And I want you to be honest with yourself. I'm not trying to trick anyone here. I just want you to know that there is an enemy who's trying to keep you from getting in this book right here. This book will change your life. Okay? This book will change your life. And there's an enemy out there trying to keep you out of this book as long as he can. Because he knows if I can keep them out of the book, they'll never reach their potential and fulfillment for Christ. How many of you have social media? Raise your hand. I'm going to raise my hand. I have social media. All right. How many of you believe everything you read on social media? Raise your hand. I think that's noble. Cindy tried to raise her hand, but Christina called her and said, "You don't believe that girl." Amen. Amen. Oh, you got to love Cindy. I know I do. She's one of my favorites. How many of you read the newspaper? But not many people read the newspaper anymore, do they? Still got some people read the newspaper? Raise your hand. Okay, I read some articles. How many of you believe everything you read in the newspaper? Raise your hand. No. How many of you believe every word in this book is true? Raise your hand. Now listen to me. Everyone raised their hand. Now, here's the question. I don't want you to raise your hand. How many of you read this book that you believe every word is true more than you read social media that you don't believe it's all true, or the paper that you don't believe all that's true? See, that's the enemy. Say, "Preacher, there might be some people that do read more of the Bible than they do social media and the paper." That's okay. That's a learned behavior. That's discipline. But the devil, listen, it's a fight daily, isn't it? It's a fight daily. It is. You know, I'm just bearing my heart to you. I have one of these. You can stand to your feet. I have one of these. You see this right here? The preacher's got one. All right? And I've got a couple of things. I don't know a whole lot about what's going on this thing. Listen, I might have some things going on in China, Taiwan, that I don't even know about. Wouldn't it be something if we got to scrolling through social media, and, you know, it's almost addictive. Scrolling, and, "Oh, no, preacher, not for me." Well, that's great, not for you. I'm just saying, for a lot of people it is now. Whether you want to believe it or not, it may not be for you. But for a lot of people, it's addictive. It is. You don't believe it? Go out to public and just look around. This is the way people walk. Run into somebody, "Excuse me." I'm serious. It's right close to being addictive. I'm not picking on people. Listen, this thing can take a precedence in our lives. Wouldn't it be something when we got to looking at one thing and then another, that when we began to read this, we just wanted to read one thing and then another, and then another, and then another? But see, the enemy doesn't care if you spend a lot of time on this. It's not going to value you a whole lot. It's just not. Oh, the enemy is trying to make you think it will. It's not going to make you rejoice in the heart. But this book said this will. And I believe this. So could I encourage you now? As the parents began to play, just meditate a little bit. Don't make an emotional, rash, quick decision. How's your Bible reading?